Well, I'm really grateful today for the help of a mom in our congregation. The Lord's placed a word in her heart, and we want to receive you I think the Lord has really prepared our hearts this morning. So let's open up and receive what the Lord has for us. Amen?
Amen. Amen. Well, happy Mother's Day. Mother's Day is kind of an interesting time, I think, for people because it can be bittersweet. You know, it can be just fantastic for all you new mommies and all mothers-to-be and grandmas and just grandmothers and whatever, nanas and mimes, whatever you're called. But it can be a wonderful time. And it can also be kind of bittersweet for people, you know, people that have maybe a loss of a dream. Things didn't go maybe the way they wanted them to go. Maybe their mother isn't here but is in heaven. Maybe it's a loss of a mother that never was but was always wanted. And the longings being answered by the Lord. And so I want to just start out right away just saying that Mother's Day for me used to be bittersweet. And so it's kind of ironic that I get this great privilege of speaking a Mother's Day message because the title of the message is, "This is not your typical Mother's Day message." I thought about calling it some other things, but it's like, what's the title? Well, this is not your typical Mother's Day message. But I want to just preface this really quickly. Some of you know me, some of you don't know me. But the reason it was bittersweet is because when I was around 36 years old, I was a single mom. And my son, Logan, who was 9 at the time, had passed away from cancer. And so I was, like I said, single, 36, and I had a 6-year-old daughter that was looking to me for strength. And so Mother's Day would come and Mother's Days would go. And I think for my daughter and I, we both kind of, it was bittersweet. You know, when you have siblings, Mother's Day, you celebrate together for your mother, whether it's a spiritual mother, a physical mother, biological mother, however you want to look, just a mothering type of person. So for me, it was bittersweet, and I think it was for her as well. And so I just want to tell you today that I understand. And so today, I'm here to tell you that weeping endures for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And the things that the enemy has purposed against you to utterly destroy you will be the very things that God will turn into beauty. And so be encouraged today because I believe that the Lord wants to speak something about birthing a vision. Birthing a vision both corporately and personally. And so I want to start with this scripture that really doesn't pertain to, I'm not quite sure how this all flies. Hey, Nick, would you turn this fan off? I know Pastor loves it, but I feel a little bit like Carrie Underwood in some kind of music video. What is that? What's that song, Blow? Yeah, never mind. Anyways, so I was feeling a little Carrie Underwood-ish, so thank you. Gosh, I wish I looked like her. She's beautiful. Do you know you cannot find an ugly picture of Carrie Underwood? It's true. I've looked. You can't. You can't. Pregnant, beautiful. Teenager, gorgeous. After a baby, I think she came out of the hospital. She looked like she had a makeover or something. I don't know. Her and, so that's a side note. Carrie Underwood, you're blessed. We love you. You're a beautiful woman. Okay, so I'm going to read this out of Acts. And I just want you to listen to this because it's the only time I'm really going to reference it. But I feel like I was supposed to read it over us, over this body, over our church. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. "And it shall come to pass in the last days, said God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." That is a seed. That is a word. That is, some of that is coming to pass now. Some of that, we will see it come to pass. It's about to come to pass. And I was having lunch with Pastor Heather, and she kind of threw this statement out to me, and it caught. First you have the prophecy, then you have the process, then you have the promise. Today I want to talk about the process of birthing a vision, because birthing a vision is very similar to birthing a child. And so that is, except it takes longer. It could. Might take. That's the bummer. You don't know that in 9 months is going to be over. So birthing a child, you at least kind of have an idea of the time frame, which we love. We love knowing time frames, don't we? I know I do. I love to have everything all figured out. I might look spontaneous. I'm really not. Don't be deceived. I'm not that spontaneous. Gosh, I wish I was. But birthing a vision is similar to childbirth, except it just might take a whole lot longer. So we have a seed. We have a prophecy within us. And then you have the labor, the birth, and the delivery. That's the process. Labor, birth, delivery. That sounds easy, doesn't it? And then finally you have the baby, which is the promise. We, corporately, I believe, are in the process. We are in the labor, the birthing room, the delivery. We are in the process, both corporately, birthing a vision, and both personally, personal things that God has placed within you. So I want to read this scripture, John 16:21. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for the joy that a human being has been born into the world. I don't know if you've ever, some of you men, you don't know that women actually have war stories. Do any men know that women have a war story? Men have a war story. They have a hunting story. You know, women hunt. You don't know women hunt? We don't hunt with guns, but we do hunt with credit. Credit cards, cash. You know, you often see us in Macy's, you know, kind of hiding behind the rack, stocking some 25% off, maybe 50% off. Got a couple coupons if I need them, you know, I'll pull them out. So we know how to hunt, but we also have war stories. We do. We've been to war. And the only time you hear the war story is most likely if you're expecting a child, right? Every mom in here who's ever been expecting a child will hear a woman's war story, which is when she gave birth. And I've labored for two kids, and if you're about to have a baby, you're going to hear my story. Absolutely. Because 10 hours of labor, the little tiny hint of baby aspirin, you're going to hear what I went through. You're going to hear everything about it. And the best part is when we're all in the war room at the baby shower, you know, and we're all just sharing our stories, and the mom's eyes are like this big because she's never even delivered yet. You know, we're telling about this, what we went through and how it was. So we have our birth stories. Now, we were like this. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for the joy that a human being has been born in the world. So we all can recognize that women have a huge role to play in childbirth. But when you're birthing a vision, both men and women have a spiritual womb and capacity to birth a vision. And so we read over in 1 Kings 18:44. So there was a famine in the land. There was a drought. And the Lord called Elijah to get into a birthing position. And he got down. He bowed down on the ground and put his face between his knees. And he said to his servant, "Go up now and look toward the sea." So the servant went up. There's nothing. And seven times this went on where he sent his servant up while he remained in the birthing position. He never got out of that position. He remained in that. And again, he said, "There's nothing." But on the seventh time, it came to pass on the seventh time that he said, "There's a cloud as small as a man's hand rising up out of the sea." And so there's a famine happening. I don't know if you know this. I'm sure you do, but we're in a spiritual famine right now. We have been in a drought. And so when it was time to break the famine, God called a man. He called a man. So Elijah birthed a nation out of famine, and then the drought ended. So the point that I'm trying to make here is both women and men both have the capacity to birth a vision. And that's where we are. So with using this, when you give birth to vision, you must first realize that you are expecting. When you're with child, the very first thing you have to know is that you are expecting. And women who are expecting a child, just, and I want you to use the correlation to us birthing a vision. When you're expecting a child, you take care of yourself differently. You take your prenatal vitamins. You rest. You care for yourself. You eat right. I mean, I ate for two, and I loved that because I dieted my whole life. And so then when I found out I was pregnant, I'm like, yes, I can eat dessert. I can eat hot fudge sundaes. Little did I know that I was going to gain weight on top of all that. So I actually have a picture of myself just massively sitting in some rocking chair with like a striped sweatshirt on, and I look like a giant beach ball. And no one ever told me, but I was huge because I thought, you know, I'm eating for two, so I was all about that. So when you're birthing a vision, you need to be eating well. You need to be meditating on God's word. You need to be digesting his word. You need to be soaking. And I've talked to the youth about this. We have our praise and we have our worship, but we also have our soaking. And there's some artists that I listen to, and Pastor has beautiful soaking music, and I'll just put it on, and it's almost like it's a sunny day and you're laying on a raft and you're just receiving the soaking. You're not thinking, you're not praying, you're just resting and just receiving. And sometimes I think soaking is what we need the most of. The rest, that's the rest of not an agenda and not thinking about anything else, but just resting in the presence of God. And there's some beautiful music out there right now that's just very easy to get on your raft and let the sun shine on you and get rest. And you can recognize that we need his presence. We need to have the worship and his resting and being refreshed and listening. And then there's another thing that you have to realize, that you do have something within you. You have something within you. And recently, Eleanor and I had time together, and she was telling me the story about a woman who, a young girl, actually, she's like 17, 18 years old, and she's a beautiful violinist. And was applying for scholarships, and she just told me this great story, but Eleanor said something, and it stuck to me, and I couldn't really shake it. For weeks, I'd been thinking about it. And she told me that this young girl was adopted from China. And when she was about 3 years old, she was watching, she came to the United States. When she was about 3 years old, she was watching Elmo. And Elmo had a little violin, and he was playing it on Sesame Street. And something within her went, I think I want one of those. And so her parents were sensitive. They got her this violin. They got her some lessons. And she had a gift. She had this talent that they didn't know about. To the point that she exhausted all the music teachers in this area and had to go to Pittsburgh to find people that could challenge her and hone her craft. And that she was so successful that she was a part of the Pittsburgh Youth Symphony. And as Eleanor describes it, she'll most likely probably go professionally. She's a beautiful player. And I couldn't get out of my head that I saw this little girl in an orphanage with all kinds of children. And yet, she had this great capacity within her. And had she not been adopted, no one would have known that she had the gift of music. And she's even been quoted to say that had her parents not adopted her, that she would have never known that she had the gift of music. She never would have reached the vision that God had placed in her, and the world would have missed her song. So God has placed something in every single one of you. I don't know if you've been saved for 10 years, for 10 minutes, or for 10 seconds. The Lord has placed something within you. You are expecting a child. You are expectant with promise. And you'll never reach it unless you're adopted. We've been adopted by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to reach the capacity that he has for us. Even if you're just saved right now, there is something within you that we need to hear your song. We would have missed her music. We would have missed her song. You have a song to play. You have a song to sing. You have a song to write. You have something to do. We need you. I need you. The world needs you. The body of Christ needs you. Let the Lord birth it forth. And the second thing, we are with child. We are with child. We are birthing a vision corporately. And we are birthing a vision personally. So there's two things going on. But together, corporately, we are birthing something. And the second part is knowing that you are a child of God. God has placed a spiritual seed within you. It is in you. It is a living fact that you are no longer an orphan. You are no longer an orphan, but have been adopted. Romans 8:15, for we did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, which would say we were an orphan and we had to figure it out on our own. But we have received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father, Daddy, Daddy God. We are his child. We have been adopted into great purpose and destiny, and God is birthing something within you. You are expecting. You're giving birth to a vision is very similar to childbirth in that it's labor and delivery. That's point number two. So the first one is you're expecting. You're with child. The second part is you're in labor and delivery. You're in the process. And I would say that's probably where we are corporately. We're in the process. I don't know if you know this, but labor and delivery is hard. Labor and delivery is a messy process. It's primitive. A woman is both at her most strongest point and most vulnerable place. It's of very high emotions. and physical chaos. And the interesting thing is, when you're birthing, when you're in childbirth, you really are not in control. I don't know if you know this or not, but a woman that's not in control is not really a pretty sight. Yeah, because I didn't look like I was a pretty sight this morning, nor yesterday, nor last Tuesday. So whenever I'm not in control, it's kind of sad, scary. But anyway, so the thing about spiritual birth is you're not in control. It's the same as when you're giving birth physically to a child. Your body just contracts. And I hate to go too much into biology for men that maybe don't want to hear about it, but you have contractions, and you're not making them happen. A woman is not causing the birth to happen. There's nothing you can do to make it happen. Your body takes over, and the contractions come, and the pain comes. And how about the baby? The woman and the baby are in the process, but neither one of them are under control. Neither one of them are in any control. I know about the woman. I mean, can't remember about the baby, but can you imagine the baby? Hey, this is kind of nice and warm and cool. I'm getting fed and hanging out, swimming around, and then all of a sudden, it starts being squeezed and pressed, and like, what is happening, and going into this unknown place that it's never been before. It's primitive. And women are going through a physical chaos, yet they're strong, probably stronger than you ever have been, but more vulnerable than you've ever been. And isn't that the same with birthing something spiritually? You feel strong and it's completely vulnerable, completely primitive, like coming undone. And that's exactly what it's like. And you're not in control. And you're just not in control. So what do you do? How does a woman get through childbirth when she's not in control? She leans into the pain. She yields. She doesn't fight it. Because neither in the natural, you can't stop it. The baby's coming. The baby can't stop it, and he probably wants to stop it. The mother probably wants to stop it. We're talking about no spiritual epidurals here. Because there isn't one. There is no spiritual epidural. At least I haven't met it yet. If I find it, I'll be marketing it, because I could use a little bit of that. No, it's not. Because it's in the anguish that God produces who we are. It's in the process and the contractions and the yielding to what God is doing and what God is birthing that brings forth a new life. And it's in that we hope, and we yield to the pain and we yield to the process, because we know it's producing life, that in the end it will be fruitful, that we will forget about the anguish. We will have our war stories, but we won't be living in that. We now have a living baby to care for. You know, and it doesn't even stop then when the promise comes, because you have to nurture the promise. And then all of a sudden you're like, man, when was the last time I had 8 hours of sleep? I don't know. But who cares? Look at this baby. I remember thinking, I used to want to sleep, and then it'd be in the middle of the night, and I'd go for my firstborn, my son, and I'd go in there, and he'd see my face, and he'd spit the little binky out, and he'd go. And it's like 2 o'clock in the morning, you know? And you're like, aw. And you don't care that you don't have sleep. You've been thrown up on. You've been peed on. All these things. The baby has done all these things. The promise. And you don't care. You don't care. And then the promise matures and grows into a beautiful child and a beautiful adult and a beautiful woman. And has its own destiny and its own life. And it's a beautiful thing. But there's a lot of anguish. But it's in the process. To yield to the pain, to yield to, and you know what? You have to have that steady focus. It's a steady focus when you're delivering, especially without anesthesia or epidural. And it's yielding and leading into it and not trying to quit. Because really, we have the opportunity with spiritual birth that we could quit, that we could get off and run out of the birthing room and be done. And I'm sure everybody that's in the process that wants to be honest has put their hand on the handle of the birthing room and turned the knob and just said, I so want to walk out of here. I so want to do it. But for the love, for the promise, for the Lord, for what he's placed within you, for the seed that's supposed to be developing and growing and birthing, you take your hand off and you get back on the birthing table. You get back into position so that God can process what he's doing in your life and bring forth the promise. Amen. I've had my hand on the door more times than I wish I would have. You know, I also realize that there's outside forces that can interrupt childbirth. And there's been many mothers and fathers who have felt a dream turn into a nightmare, and I understand that. And I can't explain it, but the loss of a child is a deep, deep wound to your soul. But the most amazing thing is that God's deeper still. That there's really no pit that's so deep that God's not deeper still. He's not deep. So there are people that, I never had a mother, and I've always wanted a mother. I watched that video, and she was telling her son that, you're not stupid. My son's not stupid. God, I always wanted someone to say that to me. I always wanted my mother, a mother, to speak to me and say, son, you're not stupid. I believe in you. Don't call my son stupid. I've always longed for it, and I've never had it. And the Lord would say that that's a pit, but it's not deeper than he is. He's both mother and father. He's both mother and father and can nurture you and nurture that from you. So there's no pit that you're in that God's not deeper still. He gives beauty for ashes and an oil of joy for mourning, a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. When you're birthing a vision, and I believe we're in this time as well, you need to be a spiritual midwife. You have to, so you're expecting, you're in the process of childbirth and labor delivery, but you're also a midwife. And you say, oh, I really can't reach out to people until I'm kind of whole. That is such a lie. That is such a lie. It's actually in the midst of your anguish. It's in the midst of your pain and the labor that you actually can reach back and understand someone better than you ever have. And I got this privilege, I'm going to name drop Emmy. I got to be there when Evie was born. And something really kind of amazing came over me, and I didn't expect it, but she asked me to kind of be a part of the coaching thing and being in the room. And I don't know what happened, but really God anointed me to be like a midwife. I mean, it was, I never had anything happen to me like that before, but I was focused on this baby being born. And I was focused on serving her like a midwife. I knew it was God because, one, I'm not that nice, you know? And I knew it was God because it's like I was just her, like serving her, you know? And I didn't care about sleep. I had unlimited energy. I mean, I wasn't selfish. And that's how I knew it was God because I'm not that nice. And it was, and two things I think happened is the reason I was able to be a spiritual midwife is because, or a physical midwife is because I had been there. I had been where she was. I understood the pain she was in. I understood what she was feeling. I remember one time she's like, oh, this isn't too bad. I was like, oh my God, we got a long way to go. And so, but I was able to be there and understand, one, I think because God wanted me to see new life be born, and two, because I had been there. And so there's places that you have been that the Lord wants you to reach back and be a spiritual midwife for someone and bring them along. And you're basically a cheerleader and you're on the other side and you're just saying, if he did it for me, he can do it for you. You're no different. If God did it before, he can do it again. If he did it for me, he can do it for you, and he will do it for you. He doesn't consider. We're all the same. If he did it for me, surely, without a doubt, he'll do it for you. Because he'll do it again and again and again and again and again. Help somebody get birth through the process. Doesn't matter how many losses you've had. Doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what kind of pain and anguish you've suffered. Reach back and bring somebody out. Bring somebody out. Even if you're just saved. Do you know, Jesus never modeled independence. I don't know where we think we got to go do this alone. I just got to, and I've been there. I just got to toughen up and suck it up and do it alone. Jesus never modeled that. You know who modeled that? Satan modeled that. He was a lone wolf. When you want to be a lone wolf, you're in the wrong father's house. Because he wasn't a lone wolf. He did not model that. Satan modeled that. Who's your father? Because Jesus did not model that. Jesus modeled family. Jesus modeled sending them out together. Jesus modeled that he had three that he took with him, one sometimes even closer. He shared his intimate secrets with people. He was vulnerable. He was vulnerable. He was strong, but he was vulnerable. Satan is the one that is not. He's the lone wolf. So when you're tempted to do that, that's a lie from the pit of hell, because Jesus never modeled that. And another thing Jesus modeled is he ministered in anguish. Who does that? Hanging on the cross, he ministered three things while hanging on the cross. He ministered forgiveness. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Who has hurt you? Who has hurt you? Who has wounded you? Jesus asked for their forgiveness when they were destroying his flesh. Then on the cross, he ministered salvation. In the midst of his anguish, he ministers salvation to the thief on the cross. And then lastly, he ministers the spirit of adoption. So John will take Mary, his mother, into his home. That is the last, I believe, the last act of ministry that Jesus does. Forgiveness. This is in the midst of death. This is in the midst of great physical pain and suffering. Forgiveness, salvation, and adoption and healing. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And that's who we are. We're spiritual midwives. Don't waste your sorrow. Don't waste your sorrow. Give it away. You know, I remember when my marriage ended, and I remember holding my Bible, and I remember being primitive, vulnerable, on my living room floor, much like I was this morning, crying my face out into my carpet, my little puppy wondering, you know, what the heck's going on. Laying on the floor in the fetal position, cradling my Bible and crying out to God because I felt like I was just completely spent, completely undone, completely heartbroken. And in that, I cried out to God. I said, Lord, vengeance is yours, as I tried to my best to forgive. And the Lord helped me forgive because I did it by faith. I did it by faith. I knew that I could not keep that poison inside of me. And so I had to forgive. In the midst of my pain, the very first thing was I forgave. I forgave, I forgave, I forgave. They know not what they, they're mere puppets. People that have hurt you are mere puppets in the hands of the enemy. Place your anger where it belongs, at the enemy. Not God, not people. They're puppets. They're mere puppets. And so I prayed and I said, Lord, may the enemy regret, may your vengeance come, God, and may the enemy regret the day he ever laid his hand upon my life. May that be the day that he never, that he wrings his hand and say, why did I touch her life? Because you won't, don't waste your sorrow. Go back and help someone. Go back and get somebody out. Don't wait every time. You know how you have so many spiritual sons now? Why spiritual sons? Do you think that's a coincidence? The first time that I ever went to Soulfire, the first time that I ever worked with young people, Soulfire is a discipleship group for teenagers, 13 to 17, and they help out with kids camps, and so we get to teach them how to minister. You know, the very first time I ever did this was young, tall, skinny, lanky guy came up to me, and he gave me the name, Mama Laurie. I didn't ask for it. I didn't go in there saying, I'm your mama. You know, nothing. I never even mentioned it. But they were like little baby birds that I got to feed and disciple. And the things that I've been taught, I got to teach them. And then I got to watch them teach it. And now they're teaching. Now they're all over the place doing cool stuff. God, you think that's a coincidence that it was a boy? That it was a young man that called me Mama Laurie? Absolutely not. In fact, the majority of the people that call me that are mainly the young men. You think that's a coincidence? It's not. It's a seed that was sown. And unless a seed goes into the ground and dies, it dies alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. I don't know what's died in your life, but God will cause it to bear much fruit if you will allow him. If you will allow him. I just want to say this one thing. Place your anger where it belongs. It doesn't belong at God. It doesn't belong at people. It belongs at the enemy. And get up and fight and take some captives and make the pain worth it. Don't waste your sorrow. Let it motivate you to birth something, to birth something. Bitter anger will keep you in the enemy's clutches. Listen, we're in a birthing process, both corporately and personally. Recognize that you are pregnant and take care of yourself. Remember that you have been adopted and we need your song. We need your song. Don't run away from labor and delivery just because you're not in control. Focus, yield, lean into the Lord. Be steady in the process and allow the Lord to birth vision through you. And finally, be a midwife. Help somebody. Reach back. Speak hope. Allowing the Lord to heal you. so that you can be a healed healer. You're in the process. And I know the Lord's highlighted certain things to certain one of people here. The Lord's highlighted things. There is no spiritual epidural. You may need to repent. You may need to seek Him. You may need to get help. This altar is open. You're not forsaken. You're not forsaken. Remember, when you're in the birthing process, it is physical chaos and high emotions, and you're not in control. So yield. Yield wherever God is showing you. Let Him restore where you feel forsaken. So if you're here right now today, just everybody bow your heads. If you, wherever you feel forsaken, you have been adopted. You have been adopted. And by faith as a mother, I say you are not stupid. Son, you are not stupid. You are smart. You long to hear those words, so I'm saying them to you now. You are not stupid. You have been given the mind of Christ. You are smart. You have purpose. You have destiny. Everything within you the Lord has placed in there. We need your song. We need your music. We need your song. The world needs you. We need you. Sing the song that God's placed in you. Daughter, you are smart. Daughter, you are beautiful. Daughter, you are born with a purpose. Daughter, you are born with life within you. Daughter, you have dreams that I want to birth out in you. You have dreams that you have let die. Awaken. You do not have to be a mother to be a mother. That's a lie from the pit of hell. All of us can be fruitful. Thank you, Jesus. The healing anointing. Let the Lord heal you. The Lord is in this house right now. Jesus is walking to and fro. Jesus is laying hands on you. Jesus is healing you. Jesus is going to make the enemy regret the day that He ever laid His hand upon your life. It's Jesus. If you have disappointments, lost dreams, release them to the Lord now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Release it. Release it. Release the people. They're puppets. Release the people now. Just look at them. You see, they're puppets. They've been marionettes to the enemy. The enemy of their soul has warped their minds, twisted their hearts. They made bad decisions. Forgive them, for they know not what they have done. Forgive them, for they know not what they did to you. They were puppets. God is greater than that. He's greater than your pain. He's deeper still.
Hallelujah. This is a place. This place is being birthed. And it's a place of raising up. It's a place of rising, making and releasing people back into what was lost from them. It's a place of restoration. It's a place where the Spirit of the Lord comes and says, "You thought you lost, but I was getting ready. Because now you know you can't depend on yourself, but you can depend on Me," the Lord says. There has been an anguish. And this word is said real clear. There's been an anguish, but Jesus ministered out of anguish. Aren't you glad He didn't say, "I can't do this," and give up? No, He went through the pain to birth us. This is a place of restoration, of broken lives into wholeness. Let's praise Him together. Let's open up right now. Just praise Him together. We praise You, Lord, for all that You're doing in and through us. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.